14. Iron Stance. Mate form meek for love to share. Given to life, it brings us joy. To find this form, one must care. True empathy, one must employ. From the Listener Song of Listing, 5th Stanza. It's been a while, Adolin said, kneeling and holding his shard blade before him, point sunken a few inches into the stone ground. He was alone, just him and the sword in one of the new preparation rooms, built alongside the dueling arena. I remember when I won you, Adolin whispered, looking at his reflection in the blade. Nobody took me seriously then either. The fop with the nice clothing. Tinalar. Thought to duel me just to embarrass my father. Instead, I got his blade. If he'd lost, he would have had to give Tinalar his plate, which he'd inherited from his mother's side of the family. Adolin had never named his shard blade. Some did, some didn't. He'd never thought it appropriate. Not because he didn't think the blade deserved a name, but because he figured he didn't know the right one. This weapon had belonged to one of the Knights Radiant, long ago. That man had named the weapon, undoubtedly. To call it something else seemed presumptuous. Adolin had felt that way even before he'd started thinking of the Radiance in a good light, as his father did. This blade would continue after Adolin died. He didn't own it. He was borrowing it for a time. Its surface was austerely smooth, long, sinuous like an eel, with ridges at the back like growing crystals. Shaped like a larger version of a standard longsword, it bore some resemblance to the enormous two-handed broadswords he'd seen Horn-Eaters wield. A real duel, Adolin whispered to the blade. For real stakes. Finally. No more tiptoeing around it. No more limiting myself. The shard blade didn't respond, but Adolin imagined that it listened to him. You couldn't use a weapon like this, a weapon that seemed like an extension of the soul itself, and not feel at times that it was alive. I speak so confidently to everyone else, Adolin said, since I know they rely on me. But if I lose today, that's it. No more duels and a severe knot in Father's grand plan. He could hear people outside, stomping feet, a buzz of chatter, scraping on the stone. They'd come. Come to see Adolin win or be humiliated. This might be our last fight together, Adolin said softly. I appreciate what you've done for me. I know you'd do it for anyone who held you, but I still appreciate it. I want you to know. I believe in Father. I believe he's right, that the things he sees are real, that the world needs a united Alethkar. Fights like this one are my way to make it happen. Adolin and his father weren't politicians. They were soldiers. Dalinar by choice, Adolin more by circumstance. They wouldn't be able to just talk their way into a unified kingdom. They'd have to fight their way into one. Adolin stood up, patting his pocket, then dismissing his blade to mist and crossing the small chamber. The stone walls of the narrow hallway he entered were etched with reliefs depicting the 10 basic stances of swordsmanship. Those had been carved elsewhere, then placed here when this room was built. A recent addition, to replace the tents that dueling preparation had once happened in. Wind stance, stone stance, flame stance. There was a relief with depicted stance for each of the 10 essences. Adolin counted them off to himself as he passed. This small tunnel had been cut into the stone of the arena itself and ended in a small room cut into the rock. The bright sunlight of the dueling grounds glared around the edges of the final pair of doors between him and his opponent. With a proper preparation room for meditation, then this staging room to put on armor or retreat between bouts, the dueling arena at the war camps was transforming into one as proper as those back in Alethkar. a welcome addition. Adolin stepped into the staging room, where his brother and aunt were waiting. Stormfather's hands were sweating. He hadn't felt this nervous when riding into battle, when his life was actually in danger. Aunt Navani had just finished a glyph ward. She stepped away from the pedestal, setting aside her brush pen, and held up the ward for him to see. It was painted in bright red on a white cloth. "Victory?" Adolin guessed. Navani lowered it, raising an eyebrow at him. "What?" Adolin said as his armorers entered, carrying the pieces of his shard plate.
"It says safety and glory," Navani said. "It wouldn't kill you to learn some glyphs, Adolin."
He shrugged. "Never seemed that important."
"Yes, well,"
Navani said, reverently folding the prayer and setting it in the brazier to burn.
"Hopefully you will eventually have a wife to do this for you, both the reading of glyphs and the making of them."
Adolin bowed his head, as was proper while the prayer burned. Pelion knew this wasn't the time to offend the Almighty. Once it was done, however, he glanced at Navani. "And what news of the ship?" They had expected word from Yasna when she reached the shallow crypts, but none had been forthcoming. Navani had checked in with the harbormaster's office in that distant city. They said the wind's pleasure had not yet arrived. That put it a week overdue. Navani waved a dismissive hand.
"Yasna was on that ship."
"I know, Aunt," Adolin said, shuffling uncomfortably. What had happened? Had the ship been caught in a high storm? What of this woman Adolin might be marrying if Yasna had her way?
"If the ship is delayed, it's because Yasna is up to something," Navani said. "Watch. We'll get a communication from her in a few weeks demanding some task or piece of information. I'll have to pry from her why she vanished. Better send that girl some sense to go with her intelligence."
Adolin didn't press the issue. Navani knew Yasna better than anyone else. But he was certainly concerned for Yasna, and felt a sudden worry that he might not get to meet the girl, Shallan, when expected. Of course, the causal betrothal wasn't likely to work out, but a piece of him wished that it would. Letting someone else choose for him had a strange appeal, considering how loudly Danlin had cursed at him when he'd broken off that particular relationship. Danlin was still one of his father's scribes, so he saw her on occasion. More glares. But Stormit, that one was not his fault. The things she'd said to her friends? An armorer set out his boots, and Adolin stepped into them, feeling them click into place. The armorers quickly affixed the greaves, then moved upward, covering him in two light metal. Soon all that remained were the gauntlets and the helm. He knelt down, placing his hands into the gauntlets at his side, fingers in their positions. In the strange manner of shardplate, the armor constricted on its own, like a sky eel curling around its rat, pulling to comfortable tightness around his wrists. He turned and reached for his helm from the last armorer. It was Renarin. "You ate chicken?" Renarin asked as Adolin took the helm. "For breakfast. And you talked to the sword?" "Had an entire conversation." "Mother's chain in your pocket?" "Checked three times." Navani folded her arms.
"You still hold to those foolish superstitions?"
Both brothers looked at her sharply. "They're not superstitions," Adolin said, at the same time Renarin said. "It's just good luck, Aunt." She rolled her eyes. "I haven't done a formal duel in a long time," Adolin said, pulling on the helm, faceplate open. "I don't want anything to go wrong."
"Foolishness," Navani repeated.
"Trust in the Almighty and the heralds, not whether or not you had the right meal before you duel. Storms. Next thing I know, you'll be believing in the passions." Adolin shared a look with Renarin. His little traditions probably didn't help him win, but, well, why risk it? Every duelist had his own quirks. His hadn't let him down yet.
"Our guards aren't happy about this," Renarin said softly. "They keep talking about how hard it's going to be to protect you when someone else is swinging a shard blade at you."
Adolin slammed down his faceplate. It misted at the sides, locking into place, becoming translucent and giving him a full view of the room. Adolin grinned, knowing full well Renarin couldn't see the expression.
"I'm so sad to be denying them the chance to babysit me."
"Why do you enjoy tormenting them?"
"I don't like minders."
"You've had guards before."
"On the battlefield," Adolin said. It felt different to be followed about everywhere he went.
"There's more. Don't lie to me, brother. I know you too well."
Adolin inspected his brother, whose eyes were so earnest behind his spectacles. The boy was too solemn all the time. "I don't like their captain," Adolin admitted.
"Why?"
"He saved father's life." "He just bothers me," Adolin shrugged. "There's something about him that is off, Renarin. That makes me suspicious."
"I think you don't like that he ordered you around on the battlefield."
"I barely even remember that," Adolin said lightly, stepping toward the door out.
"Well, all right then. Off with you. And brother?"
"Yes?"
"Try not to lose."
Adolin pushed open the doors and stepped out onto the sand. He'd been in this arena before, using the argument that though the Alethi Codes of War prescribed duels between officers, he still needed to maintain his skills. To placate his father, Adolin had stayed away from important bouts, bouts for championships or for shards. He hadn't dared risk his blade and plate. Now, everything was different. The air was still chill with winter, but the sun was bright overhead. His breath sounded against the plate of his helm, and his feet crunched in the sand. He checked to see that his father was watching. He was, as was the king. Satius hadn't come. Just as well. That might have distracted Adolin with memories of one of the last times that Satius and Dalinar had been amiable, sitting together up on those stone steps watching Adolin duel. Had Satius been planning a betrayal even then, while laughing with his father and chatting like an old friend?
Focus.
His foe today wasn't Satius, though someday, someday soon, he'd get that man in the arena. It was the goal of everything he was doing here. For now, he'd have to settle for Salinor, one of Thanadol's shard-bearers. The man had only the blade, though he'd been able to borrow a set of the king's plate for a bout with a full shard-bearer. Salinor stood on the other side of the arena, wearing the unornamented slate-gray plate, and waiting for the High Judge, Bright Lady Isto, to signal the start of the bout. This fight was, in a way, an insult to Adolin. In order to get Salinor to agree to the duel, Adolin had been forced to bet both his plate and his blade against just Salinor's blade. As if Adolin weren't worthy, and had to offer more potential spoils to justify bothering Salinor. As expected, the arena was overflowing with light eyes. Even if it was speculated that Adolin had lost his former edge, bouts for shards were very, very rare. This would be the first in over a year's time.
"Summon blades," Isto ordered.
Adolin thrust his hand to the side. The blade fell into his waiting hand 10 heartbeats later, a moment before his opponents appeared. Adolin's heart was beating more quickly than Salinor's. Perhaps that meant his opponent wasn't frightened and underestimated him. Adolin fell into wind stance, elbows bent, turned to the side, sword's tip pointing up and backward. His opponent fell into flame stance, sword held one-handed, other hand touching the blade, standing with a square posture of the feet. The stances were more a philosophy than a predefined set of moves. Wind stance, flowing, sweeping, majestic. Flame stance, quick and flexible, better for shorter shard blades. Wind stance was familiar to Adolin. It had served him well throughout his career. But it didn't feel right today.
"We're at war," Adolin thought as Salinor edged forward, looking to test him. "And every light eyes in this army is a raw recruit."
It wasn't time for a show. It was time for a beating. As Salinor drew close for a cautious strike to feel out his opponent, Adolin twisted and fell into iron stance, with his sword held two-handed up beside his head. He slapped away Salinor's first strike, then stepped in and slammed his blade down into the man's helm. Once, twice, three times. Salinor tried to parry, but he was obviously surprised by Adolin's attack, and two of the blows landed. Cracks crawled across Salinor's helm. Adolin heard grunts accompanying curses as Salinor tried to bring his weapon back to strike. This wasn't the way it was supposed to go. Where were the test blows, the art, the dance? Adolin growled, feeling the old thrill of battle as he shoved aside Salinor's attack, careless of the hit it scored on his side, then brought his blade in two-handed and crashed it into his opponent's breastplate like he was chopping wood. Salinor grunted again, and Adolin raised his foot and kicked the man backward, throwing him to the ground. Salinor dropped his blade, a weakness of Flamestance's one-handed posture, and it vanished to mist. Adolin stepped over the man and dismissed his own blade, then kicked down with a booted heel into Salinor's helm. The piece of plate exploded into molten bits, exposing a dazed, panicked face. Adolin slammed the heel of his foot against the breastplate next. Though Salinor tried to grab his foot, Adolin kicked relentlessly until the breastplate, too, shattered.
"Stop! Stop!"
Adolin halted, lowering his foot beside Salinor's head, looking up at the High Judge. The woman stood in her box, face red, voice furious.
"Adolin Colin," she shouted, "this is a duel, not a wrestling match!"
"Did I break any rules?" he shouted back. Silence. It struck him, through the rush in his ears, that the entire crowd had gone quiet. He could hear their breathing. "Did I break any rules?" Adolin demanded again.
"This is not how a duel—"
"So I win," Adolin said. The woman sputtered.
"This duel was to three broken pieces of plate. You broke only two."
Adolin looked down at the dazed Salinor. Then he reached down, ripped off the man's pauldron, and smashed it between two fists. "Done." Stunned silence. Adolin knelt beside his opponent.
"Your blade?"
Salinor tried to stand, but with the breastplate missing, doing so was more difficult. His armor wouldn't work properly, and he needed to roll onto his side and work his way to his feet. Doable, but he obviously didn't have the experience with plate to perform the maneuver. Adolin slammed him back down to the sand by his shoulder.
"You've lost," Adolin growled. "You cheated," Salinor sputtered.
"How?"
"I don't know how. It's just... it's not supposed to..."
He trailed off as Adolin carefully placed a gauntleted hand against his neck. Salinor's eyes widened.
"You wouldn't."
Fierce-Bren crawled out of the sand around him.
"My prize," Adolin said, suddenly feeling drained. The thrill faded from him. Storms he'd never before felt like this in a duel. Salinor's blade appeared in his hand.
"Judgment," the High Judge said, sounding reluctant, "goes to Adolin Colin, the victor. Salinor Evid forfeits his shard."
Salinor let the blade slip from his fingers. Adolin took it and knelt beside Salinor, holding the weapon with pommel toward the man.
"Break the bond."
Salinor hesitated, then touched the ruby at the weapon's pommel. The gemstone flashed with light. The bond had been broken. Adolin stood, ripping the ruby free, then crushing it in a gauntleted hand. That wouldn't be needed, but it was a nice symbol. Sound finally rose in the crowd, frantic chattering. They'd come for a spectacle, and had instead been given brutality. Well, that was how things often went in war. Good for them to see it, he supposed, though as he ducked back into the waiting room he was uncertain of himself. What he'd done was reckless. Dismissing his blade? Putting himself in a position where the enemy could have gotten at his feet? Adolin entered the staging room, where Renarin looked at him wide-eyed.
That, his younger brother said, was incredible. It has to be the shortest shard bout on record. You were amazing, Adolin.
Thanks. He handed Salinor's shard blade toward Renarin. A present.
Adolin, are you sure? I mean, I'm not exactly the best with the plate I already have.
Might as well have the full set, Adolin said. Take it. Renarin seemed hesitant. Take it, Adolin said again. Reluctantly, Renarin did so. He grimaced as he took it. Adolin shook his head, sitting down on one of the reinforced benches intended to hold a shard-bearer. Navani stepped into the room, having come down from the seats above.
What you did, she noted, would not have worked on a more skillful opponent.
I know, Adolin said.
It was wise then, Navani said. You mask your true skill. People can assume this was won by trickery, pit-fighting instead of proper dueling. They might continue to underestimate you. I can work with this to get you more duels.
Adolin nodded, pretending that was why he'd done it.